Why do we set goals? That is the first question that we might want to ask ourselves. And I love this little quote by Zig Ziglar. Goals are dreams we convert into plans and take action to fulfill. The question is this like some sort of self-help kind of new agey thing, or is this like some sort of secular business idea, whatever? And I know Ron's going to address that tomorrow, which is good. So I stole some of his Bible quotes for tomorrow so that I'm stealing his thunder. So that we can talk about what the Bible says about goal setting and plans and things like that. So in Psalm 33:11, it says, "The Lord's plans stand firm forever." So I guess God plans. His intentions can never be shaken. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And in Proverbs 21:5, "Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty." I was thinking about what is it that goals accomplish? And I don't think this is in, oh yeah, it is a new thing. And this is just my own thoughts, I guess, taken from different things. But you start with a dream that turns into a vision. A vision turns into goals. Goals turn into action. And then action turns your goals, vision, and dreams into a reality. The idea is there should be something that God's calling you to, something that God's leading you to, some bigger purpose for your life. And the goals are to help you achieve that. You break them down into the little steps, goals, and then action steps, and that helps fulfill your vision. So that's why we're doing this. That's why we're trying to set goals. It's not for for vanity. It's really because we want to fulfill what the mission, what God's plan is for our life. So I'm going to move kind of quickly so that we can get to the actual making it happen. So I'm going to talk about where should we start. And there's Zig Ziglar has something called the Wheel of Life. That's your first fill in the blank. Wheel of Life that I have been using myself. I'll just speak briefly. I mentioned this in the last one. What qualifies me to teach this stuff? Probably just that I was the most passionate person on the staff about this stuff, and I really wanted to. So that kind of gave me that's my credentials. But I have been putting it into practice for the last 2 years. This is year three that I'm going to be doing what I'm teaching you right now. And I've seen results. So I don't ever call anybody to do something that I don't do myself. This is not an academic exercise. This is the real deal that you can put into practice. This is real applicable stuff. This is stuff I've tested and used. I can only tell you what works for me. You're going to have to tweak things as you find out what works for you, because every person is different. Goals are that thing, that vehicle that gets you to where you want to go. And what was it that they say in The Biggest Loser?
A goal without a plan is just a wish.
A goal without a plan is just a wish. Yeah, it won't happen if you don't make it a goal, right? And if you don't have a plan for that goal, then nothing's going to happen. So I'm going to talk about how we can make that happen. There are seven areas that the Wheel of Life covers, which I think are every year you should set goals in these seven areas. And that's what I've been doing. And you can, your wheel of life might look a little different. Some people have like hobbies in their wheel of life or other little things that kind of don't fit in the seven. I mean, we could probably add a few things if we want. But these are the basics. So your career, you should have a goal for your career. You should have a financial goal, a spiritual goal, a physical goal, an intellectual goal, a family goal, and a social goal. And I'll give you some resources that I have been reading myself that might spur on some ideas of what you want to do with your goals. Because where do we start? That's I don't know where to start with this. How do I make a career goal and a financial goal? And I don't really know what I'm doing. So there's some resources that can help you too at the end of on the last page of your notes. But the idea behind the wheel of life is that we kind of have to have all of these in effect. We have to be moving in all of these areas. Now, you can just focus on career and financial, right? And you make, but the rest of your life you just kind of don't have any plan for. And it's like a wheel. You're gonna get there eventually, but it's lopsided. And it's going to be a bumpy ride, and the more out of balance you are, the harder your life becomes. And so this is the idea that this is if you use these seven and you are constantly making better goals for yourself and moving yourself forward in what God wants you to do in these areas, that your life will be in balance and you'll be able to go where God's leading you to, and relatively teeth chattering free, you will get there a little more smoothly and not take everybody with you on that roller coaster as well. So those are the seven areas that I highly encourage you to look at in your life, and we'll talk about what we need to do in order to figure out what that goal is a little bit. Again, I can only tell you what I do. Yours might look differently. But once we've identified that these seven areas we need to do something in, I use what's called the SMART method. And if you flip your page over, and you'll see it there, the SMART method. Your goal should be specific. You gotta have a specific goal. You gotta know what winning looks like, right? You gotta know what it is you're trying to accomplish. Okay? Be better is not very specific. Right? Measurable is the next one. How do you know you accomplished the goal? Okay? Can you measure it? You have to be able to measure it. Okay? So otherwise you'll have no idea if you've actually accomplished it. It should be attainable. Okay? Is it physically possible for you to do that goal? Make $1 million by the end of the year. Is that attainable? Maybe it is for you. I don't know. But if you make $20,000 and you're a student and you've got no prospects of changing that, that might not be the best goal for you. Might not be the best goal anyway when you pray about it. So attainable, but I will say that you could probably accomplish more than you think. So on the other side, don't sell yourself short. On the other side, relevant. So relevant has to do with your vision. Is it one of these seven? Is this goal part of the vision that God has for you as you seek him and you know, if you've got some sort of mission statement for your life, does it fit into that in some way? How will this help you live out your vision, God's vision for your life or God's plan for your life? Is it relevant? And then time bound. So, time bound helps keep you on track, keeps you going towards something, lets you know if you're falling behind. All of these things that you, if you don't have any time on it, it's just kind of out there. I'll do it eventually. Well, when? Yes. Yes, this is interactive. You can ask any questions. You can throw out anything you want. You can agree. You can throw out comments to agree. You can throw out comments that you disagree. We can, yeah.
Is there any kind of recommendation? You know, when you say every year I set goals, is that a year's goal? Or do you set, like, three-month goals and reevaluate?
Okay.
What's the time bound?
Good. I'll restate the question for the podcast. Every year, she's asking, Angela's asking, do we set a year-long goal, or do you several goals? Because some goals don't take a whole year. I know Dave Ramsey will set a goal. Like, for instance, a physical goal is to run a marathon. And he'll crank that out in, like, February because he just wants to get it done with. You know, that's his goal. That's a goal where you can say, I'm done. You know, you can make an additional goal. I think it's his social goals that he really tries to crank out.
make 10 friends. Okay, done.
Yeah.
January, February, it's very dismal after.
Yeah, yeah. But some will take a whole entire year. I try and set them for, you know, a year, although some of them won't take that long. It just depends. Like, for instance, I have a physical goal. My time frame is to be done by July 1st, I think is what I wrote down.
Okay.
Because it's something attainable by July 1st, where it's just kind of ridiculous to, I'm not going to make any movement on it probably until June or July anyway, then I'll just wait. You know, so I shift it up, and then hopefully I've created a pattern in my life that I'll keep that going. You know, if that is whatever your physical goal might be. Last year, I actually had losing weight goal, and I set a time for it, and I ended up meeting it in like half the time. I realized I had more to lose, so I just kept going. There was a point where I had stopped, but I made an additional goal, but I was done by June, and then I had to, you know, come holiday time, we decided to make another goal real quick and to kind of get back on track. But these ones are, you know, these are things that it could be lose a certain amount of weight by a certain amount of time. It could be just taking physical. It could be that kind of, I'm going to run a 5K by this time. That helps you. The other thing about time-based is it helps you reverse engineer what it is you need to do. By this time, I've got to have done this. By this time, I've got to have done this. You know, and it helps you know. And anybody who's trained for a marathon or for any of those long things, there's like training plans, and you got to run, and you know, it's like 12-week training plan, and so you can just back it right out. And you know, okay, I'm not going to run a marathon in 2 weeks, but in 12 weeks I can because I've got this plan. So that's kind of why time base is so important. And as long as you're doing a goal. You know, I don't care if it takes you 2 months or if it takes you an entire year. I mean, that's up to you. But at least if you're thinking about it and you're doing something toward it, your life is going to be in better balance than having not done anything, right? So that's kind of how I look at it. There are some additional considerations, which you'll see there. You got to write them down. They should be your own. Sorry. You got to write them down. And you got to put them in a place where you can see them daily. Because otherwise, you know, out of sight, out of mind. The first year I did that, Jessica was not happy with me. I took a dry erase and I put it on we had one of those big mirrors right next to our bed. And I put out every single goal and then I put whatever action step I was on those things because I had several things. And I put them all up there. So every night before I went to bed, I saw them there. And every morning when I woke up, I saw them there. I couldn't miss them. They were, you know, I guess I could have ignored them. Yeah, yeah, it was the closet doors that had mirrors on. They were mirror closet doors. So it was right next to my bed. I literally walked out and there, boom, there it was staring at me. So that's what I decided to do. It kind of, when you look at it and you realize that you're way behind, it kind of also gets you a little bit of a motivation to go, okay, I want to do this. Now, for some people, just accomplishing the goal might be enough motivation. For others, there's got to be some other motivation, which I put some of the information from my last talk about motivation in your notes that you can check out, I think. Tips for staying motivated, that's on the last page. So yeah, they got to be your own, especially because if you're not excited about it, it's not going to happen. So if it's my wife wants me to lose 20 pounds, it's not going to happen. Even if you write it and you do all these other things, if it's not yours, if you're not excited about it, how are you going to ever be motivated to do it? You're not. Now, if the same goes for if God reveals something to you. If God says, you know, you need to be doing this, you need to pray that he makes it your own. Because if you're not excited about it, you're just, this is something I have to do, God's convicted me, I'm just going to drudge through it. You're relying on your willpower and your discipline to get through, and that's a problem for most of us, me especially. So I don't like that method. I like making it your own and being excited about it, because it's going to happen if you do it. So how do we determine what goals, what our goals should be? So this seems kind of simple, but that's what it, you know, might as well keep it simple. Pray about it. Okay, ask God, what are my goals in each area? Not just your spiritual one, although that's a good one, but you want to be heading in the right direction on all of them. Step two, you want to seek counsel. Okay, or, you know, I put read. Find some information about stuff that maybe it'll help spark what it is, where you want to go. Okay, so if you want to be a better father, maybe to your two boys, maybe you want to read a book called, Raising Boys, I think, the Dobson one. What? Bringing Up Boys. You know, it might be something to give you some ideas of what things you need to work on in your own life. So seek counsel, read. That's for what goals to set, but that's also to see if this is a good goal. So, you know, I had a goal, and I run them all by Jessica first, because she might not be too happy with that goal, you know, might think that it's not a good one for me or affects my family too much. You know, if I've got this goal to volunteer 1,000 hours this year, that's going to be a big deal on the family, you know. So you got to have to seek counsel on, is this a good idea, especially if you have a spouse. And then step three, test it against your SMART method. Is it specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound? Okay, so I just want to go through a couple examples, actually. I already talked about that. So let's just go through some examples really quick, okay? I want to lose weight. This is where you can say back, is it specific?
No.
Is it measurable?
Yes, if you have a scale.
Yes, it's measurable. You can tell if you were 120, now you're 119. I don't know who's that, but is it attainable?
Yeah.
It's attainable. Is it relevant? Not if you're 120. No, who knows? It might be relevant. It might not. That's something we don't know, just on that basic thing. That's something that they'll have to determine. And is it time-bound? No. Yeah, it's not a good one. So what if you said, I want to lose 15 pounds in 3 months? So now we've gone from specific, 15 pounds. We already had measurable, attainable. 15 pounds in 3 months is attainable for most people, I think. It's relevant. It could be if they need to lose 15 pounds. And it's time-bound. Now we've said in 3 months. So now you can track. You know, if you're on week, let's say you're a month and a half in and you've lost 2 pounds, you know, you should hopefully have figured out that you're doing something wrong before then. But it helps you kind of gauge out how much you should be losing throughout the time. You can kind of back that up and kind of measure yourself along the way. So I know I keep going to physical goals. But how about be a better father? Is it specific? No. Is it measurable?
No.
Not really. Is it attainable? Maybe. Yeah. Is it relevant?
Yes,
it's probably relevant. Is it time-based? No. So you might want to say, I'm going to compliment my child at least one time every day for the next 3 months. Will it make them a better father, which is their vision? Maybe, yeah, probably. It's probably a good direction. Is it specific? Yes. You can, you know you're going to do it. How many times you're going to do it? Every day, once every day. Is it measurable? Yes. You can check it off on a board. You can easily measure it. Attainable? Yes. Relevant? Yeah. And then time-based. You've said, okay, for a three-month period of time, I'm going to do this. Maybe by then, it's become a habit, and you can start, it'll take you down that goal. So what I want us to do, which is why I wanted to really get through this quickly, sorry, how about you ask any questions you might have before we go into the activity, because I want us to actually set a goal out of one of these things, and I'm going to give you enough time to do that, so that's why I wanted to have lots of time to pray through it, and then if you would test it against the SMART method, and then if we could share it at the end. Like I said, the first two that share, I've got a gift card for you. I'm giving you motivation. All right? So, yes, real quick, questions before we actually do this.
Okay, so measurable on some of this seems harder. That seems like the hardest step when they're not, I don't know, and maybe that's...
Mm-hmm. Right.
Obviously you have to define what... I mean, that's not the only thing that's going to make you a better father, but that's probably the first thing, and then... It maybe can be found in a smaller section, is that...
Yes.
I'm trying to write a goal that I cannot figure out how to measure it.
Right. So if your goal is kind of very, your vision is broad, you got to look at what specific thing I can do that would help me get to accomplish that vision. And if you have a problem... with withholding compliments from your child, where I never do that, let's say, and you've identified that that's an area that I can work on that would make me go that direction. Okay? So if you've got an idea that you've got in your head and you just, before you even write it, want to get a little bit of feedback, that's fine. We can do that now too. So anybody have any other... thoughts on that, that would, any questions that you have that you feel like I cannot probably do this effectively without this question being answered, and I will answer it before we go into it.
I don't think you can be a better father.
Okay. Lisa cannot be a better father. Okay. She's got that area down. All right. So, so take about 15 minutes. Start with prayer. Remember, let's go prayer. Seek counsel. You can come talk to me if you want, I guess. Or maybe you've got some ideas already. And then test it against your SMART method. And then I would like to take two examples and kind of just go through this and see if it actually works and that kind of a thing. I know it's scary to share. So let's do that now. Okay, go ahead and wrap it up. If you are stuck, that could be good too, because what we'll do is we can talk through some of that. So we can talk through some of that. All right, who has a goal that they want to share with the group? Anybody? Oh, somebody's talking. I guess I'm gonna go with the two hands I saw raised first. So I'm gonna start with Jason. Let's hear it.
All right.
So be a better life group leader for this particular session, specifically by being more prepared for each meeting and having better follow-up with the members of the group.
Okay.
The next steps of that would be to have a complete schedule 2 weeks before the start date, and each week have specific dates and times for life group activities, like when, what day or all days, and at what time do I pray over each one of the prayer requests? What day is the day that I make all follow-up phone calls? And then what day do I re-review all the material before I lead that group?
Okay. Good. So you got some next steps. Let's talk through. You're excited about that. Let's talk through the smarter. Okay. So the goal is a better life group leader this session by being prepared, more prepared, before each meeting and following up with groups. Okay. Your real goal is to be prepared and follow up with your people. Okay, so there's your specific. Okay,
That's why I actually put.
And I don't.
After I wrote that big general statement, that's why I put the one.
How do you measure being prepared?
Oh.
What? How do we measure that? How do we know? Is there some way we can? This is where we're going to have to really put our thinking caps on. Oh, Ken, how would we measure that? I think you're on it. Okay, so being prepared by preparing a lesson plan, say, or an outline for the day. Mm-hmm. Review. I mean, this is getting into specifics, but it's hard. You got to measure it. Okay, so that's something you can measure. You can say, well,
I have a lesson plan.
I have a lesson plan, or I don't. You know, it's measured. Okay. So his vision is being better prepared. His goal is going to be, it could be sitting down and preparing for 1 hour every week for the next 8 weeks, you know, of the session or whatever.
Specific to what day or evening he prepares.
Yeah. You know, yeah, that you can get. But he knows he needs to do at least 1 hour, let's say, of preparation work. And he knows he needs to do it once every week. So now we've gotten a time. Mm-hmm. We've got measurement. Okay, it's attainable. Mm-hmm. It's relevant to him being a better life group leader. All right. And then the second one's even easier. Yeah, what's the second half? Follow up. Call one person or two people in my group every week for the next something weeks. You can check that off, you know, however long the life group is. You know how many weeks that is. But you put that time thing on it. What's that?
I'm going to go with it's probably 12 weeks.
12 weeks, yeah. So that's a very, now we've gotten it into the SMART. We've tested it against SMART. It's relevant. You got an amen from the life group, director and, you know, and it's going to help you accomplish what it is that you actually really want, which is just to be better life group leader. So, and you can make, this is what I was talking to somebody about, you can break them into smaller goals. Okay. You can break them into smaller goals, and it takes you toward what it might not be a full-on year goal. And that's where you were saying, yeah, you can do several goals that year in three-month increments to get you to where you really want to be by the end of the year. You can have four goals and over, you know, every 3 months, let's say. You're going to start your next goal.
So that is really a ministry goal, which is not on the field.
Okay. No. Good.
I wrote ministry on the outside.
Right. So ministry, okay, let's talk about it. That kind of fits in with, here's where things go. You're going to have overlap on some of these. So it's a spiritual and social, possibly intellectual, depending on what he's going to do. If it's, I'm going to study this in order to be a better life, you know, I'm going to study this many hours and do that, that can be also intellectual. Yes, Sarah. Oh. Yeah.
Or you could do on the outside.
Or
like a bubble to the side.
Nice. Yeah. So, like, for instance, for me, I have a spiritual intellectual goal that kind of it goes over. I also have a spiritual social goal that kind of goes back and forth. So I don't have any, like, specific that's only spiritual. But, like, I'm doing this thing called Give Till It Hurts. Well, that's kind of, that's a social thing in some aspects. It's a financial thing in some aspects because it has to do with me giving, which these are part of that. Sorry, you're going to get this one. Sorry. Because Angela's going to get this one.
In and out. Yeah, protein style. It's good.
Yeah, there you go. And it kind of hits a few of these. So it's not like a, you know, in reading your Bible, let's say if you've got like a certain thing you want to do, you know, it's increasing your Bible knowledge. That's intellectual, but that's also spiritual.
Right. You know? Ministry, for me, ministry is not completely separate from spiritual. Obviously, what I do, my spiritual goals affects my ministry.
Right.
But I can't, what I do as a ministry leader is not necessarily always moving me forward spiritually with God. It's mostly coming out of what's moving me forward spiritually.
And it's important to understand that. So Lisa was saying that what, you know, some ministry goal might not always be hitting that moving you forward in God's spiritual aspect. You think, well, it does in some senses, but not, you know, it could just be very specific to one area that isn't really have as much of a spiritual component. So it's good to recognize where it intersects so that you're not going flat on one side of your wheel. All right? We're getting close to done. I think it is time. But I want to hear Angela's. Oops.
You got to hear.
By February 10th, I will have 4 1-day God dates on my calendar with reservations made, and I will keep my God dates in 2013. My next steps are consult Jason's calendar, consult New Life's calendar, and call St. Columba where I want to have my dates.
Okay. So
February, well, specific is the God dates. Measurable.
So, okay, let me just read that just so that we can catch this on the podcast. By February 10th, so we've got our time base, I will have 4 God dates, that's your measurable and specific thing, on my calendar with reservations made, and I will keep my God dates in 2013. So you can, yeah.
It's 2 time
zones. Yeah, it's kind of 2 things, but you gotta put them both in there because... Right. Well, if that's all you want to accomplish, if you just want to get it on the calendar, that's fine. You know, but yes, and it actually is a second goal. Keeping it is a second goal. So it's got to have all of those things as well. So it hits all of them, right? Am I missing something?
Nope.
Specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. And she could have said, have 4 God dates in 2013. She could have said that.
Right.
And that still would have been...
Roll around and I won't have them booked.
Right. That's and so in your next steps, you would have your action steps. That's where that would come. Because it's that one by itself. So you can put it that way. And in your action steps, get on the calendar by this date, this many dates. Get it, you know... Talk to Jason. Those are your next steps to break down. How am I going to achieve that goal of 4 dates with God this year?
Okay.
Yeah. So you can break it down that way instead of trying to get everything in the goal, all the information.
Right.
you know? Yeah.
Jason's calendar so that I can have my four.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. That was good. So we were able to kind of figure out how to tweak one to kind of hit all of our smart things, and then talk about how we can use the next steps, the action steps for that. So I hope that this has been good information, but also get you kind of motivated. I want you to read through the tips for staying motivated, and you can look at some of this other stuff that I put on here, some resources that will be good to keep you going on your journey. And I was going to end with that video again that I showed in the last one, but because there's about four people in this group that were in the last one. But hopefully you're motivated, you're excited, you're going to have something for your life. The biggest thing is you got to do it. Just try it, guys. Just try it, okay? Even in one area, if it's seven's overwhelming, just try it and see what happens. Do a small one. Do a little test. See if you feel great about the fact that you actually accomplished something that you were hoping to accomplish, all right? And then, like I said, go back to this staying motivated, because you're gonna have setbacks. When Jessica and I decided to get out of debt in 3 years, so this was a three-year goal because we couldn't narrow it down to 1 year, I had eye surgery. We had all these setbacks, and it was like, oh, right when we were getting started, you know? That was the dental surgery year that I was talking about in the last session, the $3,000 to $5,000 in dental. You know, it was like, ah, all these things that were setting us back. You're going to have setbacks, but you just kind of keep plotting. And, you know, we were able to finish our goal in 2 years, and we're debt-free, so we were able to accomplish that in spite of the setbacks, because we just stayed focused and kept going. So anyway, Godspeed with your goals. Just give it a try. I think you'll like it. All right.
Thank you.